The usual ingredients, including flour, go into making bread here in this bakery in Sudan's capital, Khartoum. But in the past month, the cost of a single loaf has increased by more than 40%, from 35 Sudanese pounds to 50, the equivalent of nearly a dollar.
The reason for the increase is because everything needed to make the bread has increased. The yeast, the electricity to operate the ovens, and the wheat. But the biggest increase is in the wheat. Wheat is imported, and the cost of importing has increased.
Hikes in prices of bread was one of the factors that sparked a revolution in 2018, leading to the overthrow of the country's then-president Omar al-Bashir. But the cost has increased tenfold from what it was just 2 years ago. It's the result of the lifting of wheat subsidies as Sudan grapples with a shortage of hard currency. Global events have also contributed to the recent increase in the cost of wheat. 83% of Sudan's wheat imports come from Russia and Ukraine, and the war has affected global wheat supplies.
Even if Sudan decides to look for other sources for its wheat imports, it will likely be at a higher cost. The war in Ukraine has increased the price of wheat, and Sudan will still need to secure hard currency to buy it. And right now, that's something that's in short supply. International donors suspended aid to the government following last year's military takeover.
Sudan is already grappling with an economic crisis and devalued its currency last year and again in early March. That's increased the cost of those living in poverty to more than 70%, according to the World Bank. Many are unable to afford feeding their families.
The idea of additional meals is something we have dropped because the cost of bread. We now stick to breakfast and lunch, no dinner. And even when you think of buying your own wheat and baking it at home, the cost of flour is high.
I used to be able to buy for 400 or 500 Sudanese pounds. Now the least I spend is 1,500 pounds to feed my family. There is a big difference in the cost before and now.
9.8 million Sudanese were food insecure last year, according to the UN. But with the war in Ukraine and a deteriorating economy, the organization says that number is expected to double to 18 million by the end of 2022.
Before the Ukraine crisis, we already seen the increase of malnourishment across country, and mainly because of the food insecurity. The impact of this food insecurity will be that there will be increased caseload in the nutrition sites or the nutrition services NGOs like us or UN agencies or government is providing across country. But also there will be increased caseload in the health facilities because of the impact of food security and having lack of access to food.
Saeed's bakery has reduced its operations due to the increased cost of making bread. He's concerned that there may come a day when he would have to shut it down because even if he could afford to buy flour to make bread, there may be very few who can afford to buy it. Hiba Morgan, Al Jazeera, Khartoum.
Well, let's now speak to Thompson Feary. He's in Lviv in Western Ukraine and is a spokesperson for the World Food Programme. Thank you very much for being with us on Al Jazeera, Mr. Feary. We often hear about Russia and Ukraine being the breadbaskets of Europe, but of course it goes beyond Europe, doesn't it, as we've seen in Hiba's report there. What will a prolonged conflict mean for these countries like Sudan and countries in the Middle East that are vulnerable to the price of wheat and bread?
Russia and Ukraine combined account for almost 30% of the global wheat exports and 20% of global maize exports. Any disruption, of course, such as this conflict in production or even the supply, is likely to drive prices up, affecting millions of people, people such as people living in countries like Sudan. Now, the longer this war goes on, global commodity markets will soon be missing the food. And prices are definitely going to shoot up. What is happening in Sudan is just the start. More and more countries will likely be affected because almost 45 African countries import a third of their wheat from the region. And 18% of those countries import over 50% of their wheat from the region. So this is disastrous. This is catastrophic, and it will spell doom for most of those countries.
And so what should the governments of these countries, like Sudan, be doing right now in terms of contingency plans if this continues to go on, if the conflict drags on?
Look, I think if there's anything to be learned from this conflict, and which is also quite clear from what we learned from the COVID-19, is that this has exposed our highly concentrated agricultural export market. We over-rely on too few countries to produce food that feeds the rest of the world. Now, the world's exports and reserves of primary agricultural commodities remain concentrated in a very few places. Now, we need diversification. We need to boost local production. And countries like Sudan have been doing so, and organizations such as the World Food Program have been trying to boost local production in countries such as Sudan. But we are not where we want to be, but we are certainly aware of it, and we are headed towards it.
All right. Now, the WFP, even before this conflict, had been forced to reduce food rations for 8 million people in Yemen. So what impact is the war in Ukraine having on food aid there and in countries that are in conflict and that were already suffering before this war began? What are going to be your plans and solutions to help these countries like Yemen?
Look, Ukraine is a country of 40 million, but that is feeding 400 million. It is now caught up in this conflict, and quite a number of operations and countries are going to catch the call. In Yemen, we have been forced, unfortunately, to reduce rations to people. We are struggling. We need resources. Donors have been supportive, but we ask them to kindly dig deeper so that we are able to continue and sustain operations. It is not easy for us when we choose who eats and who doesn't eat, or when we take food from those who are hungry to feed those who are starving or on the brink, which is what we've been doing in Yemen, just to sort of sustain activities and make sure that people tide the times. It's not sustainable. We need to be able to produce food. But countries that are in conflict, and Yemen is one country that has been in conflict for almost 8 years now. It has been decimated. It is on its knees. We just need the conflicts to stop. Then we have a realistic chance of being able to eliminate hunger.
Thank you so much for talking to us. Thompson Fury, spokesman for the World Food Programme, joining us there from Lviv in Western Ukraine. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.